Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It has been more than a year since the first COVID-19 case hit the U.S., but it was this month that the nationwide shutdown of businesses, restaurants, and in-person services began. No one could have imagined the financial impact the pandemic would have on so many of us, particularly when it comes to managing your money. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about your personal finances 1 year after the start of the pandemic. What has changed? What has remained the same? How can you navigate the choppy financial waters as things slowly begin to open up? My guest is Deborah Owens, America's wealth coach and author of several books, including A Purse of Your Own and Nickel and Dime Your Way to Health. Lines are open. If you have any personal finance questions, now is the time to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also tweet me at H. Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Deborah, how are you?
I'm doing great, Harold. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. Where have you been? What have you been doing? Making money, I hope.
Well, you know what? It's interesting you said that, because we have had our fastest growth in the year of the pandemic. So a lot going on. And it's just always, it's a pleasure to join you on the air again.
Well, I am glad to know that you have made it through. But so many people have had a lot of difficulty, still having difficulty. From your perspective, over the past year, who were the big winners and who were the big losers when it comes to people handling their personal finances?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because it is the best of times and the worst of times. And so let's start with the biggest losers, okay? The biggest losers in COVID-19 and the industries that were most impacted were those in the transportation, retail, and service. I mean, you don't have to look far when you go into any local mall, you will see there are a lot of shuttered doors. And what that means is that that's less jobs that are available as well. And, you know, you look at hospitality, the hotels. I was just reading a story today about they're finally seeing a little light at the end of the tunnel. But any industry where you had close proximity to people were impacted by this. And, you know, it's interesting, a year ago, because of the pandemic, we launched our first membership program all virtually. I mean, prior to that, most of the work that we did were public events and some coaching. But long story short, we launched this membership program because so many people were concerned, because you recall a year ago, this market was dropping precipitously, right? 20-30%, and a lot of people were concerned about their, you know, their retirement accounts, their savings. And if you look at the black community specifically, the greater percentage of our investments are in our retirement plan. And then as a result of that, and really trying to address the concern and educate folks, whoa, wait a minute, you know, now's not the time to throw in the towel. You have to look at volatility, that it works in your favor. And then here we are a year later, and we know what happened, right? The market is, we're hitting new highs. And in fact, there's a lot of pent-up demand. A lot of pent-up demand now that the vaccine is being distributed and people are getting vaccinated. Hopefully, we don't open up too soon. But the truth is that what many of the economists are looking at is for the economy to make a payback. So that's the good news. So for all of those people who were impacted, out of work, collecting unemployment, they've just gotten a stimulus check. So, you know, I want to talk about that a little wiser, about how to use that wisely. The winners in all of this were all of the people who were in the technology sector. A lot of the companies who the pandemic really boded well for. You see it every day. Your Amazon trucks. Zoom, DocuSign, all of the companies. Really, what the pandemic did was kind of accelerate the use of technology, and even from telemedicine to getting your mortgage refinanced now, you can do all of it online.
Yeah. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about your personal finances and the pandemic 1 year later. If you have any questions or comments about your personal finances, some changes that you've had to make, some things that you wanted to share, please give us a call. We're talking to Deborah Owens, America's Wealth Coach. She has plenty of advice for you. Again, 202-319-7810. So, Deborah, you mentioned the stimulus check. Even today, some people are receiving $1,400, and $1,400 is $1,400. But in the grand scheme of things, while that may keep people from drowning, it really isn't very helpful in helping them keep their heads above water, if you know what I mean. What would you recommend that people do with the stimmy, as they say on social media?
Well, here's what I think. Here's what I see. Right, in our community, and I, you know, just full disclosure, Wealthy You, we focus specifically on Black women, and here's what I've seen in the past year. And that is a realization that, you know, when our mama used to say, save for a rainy day, well, this was like saving for a tsunami. So mm-hmm. Who would know that we would wake up one day and literally all have to be in our houses? And so I think the most important thing for people to do right now is if they've had to, you know, go into their savings in order to, and some of this has happened in terms of if you retirement savings, that's what people have had to do to make ends meet. I think now the point I want to make is save some of that for a rainy day. Right. You know, recognizing that people probably have obligations that they have to use. So I would say don't run out and spend it. Secondly, what I would say is that this is what I said as soon as COVID hit. And that's that people need to begin to look at where the jobs are. Right. So we know that, you know, hospitality, a number of the different industries were impacted negatively. You look at transportation. We have a lot of people in who work for the airlines who've been impacted negatively. So what I want to say to the folks listening to this program are there are a lot of companies who are hiring, and that's where you need to be looking. You need to be looking on the Indeed side. You need to be working your LinkedIn profile and looking at companies who are hiring. So who are these companies that are hiring? There are companies like CVS Health. Healthcare, huge industry. And part of that is as a result of the pandemic, right? So there are all kinds of things that are having to happen. There's public outreach. There is, making sure that people get out and take these vaccines. There's distribution of vaccines. So a lot of pharmacies and companies are hiring in that sector. Also, you look at companies like Amazon. Amazon's going to hire over, you know, they're now about to surpass Walmart, is one of the biggest employers. So they're hiring. And I know we see those trucks all the time, but you name it, Amazon has it in terms of technology, customer service, marketing, compliance. All of those are areas that a big company like that would be hiring in. They just, as you all know, here in the DMV expanded. Alexandria was one of the, Alexandria, Arlington area is one of the areas where they're expanding in. So I really want folks to look at this as sort of a reset and also reset and a rebuild their own skill set so that they can take advantage of some of these opportunities.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about your personal finances 1 year after the start of the pandemic. What has changed? What has remained the same? How are you navigating the choppy financial waters? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joanne, calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for calling, Joanne. What's on your mind?
Yes, this pandemic has actually worked out for me. I was afraid I was going to lose my job, so when I got my money, taxes and stimulus, I banked the whole thing, everything, because you can't miss what you never had. So fortunately, I've been able to work from home with my employers, so I'm still getting paid. So if people can bank, if you're still working and getting paid, try to bank that check. You never know if you're going to be out of work tomorrow. So that was my thing, saving for the rainy day, as the lady on the radio mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so my finances are actually in better shape than it was before.
Yeah, how about that? Joanne, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. What about that, Deborah, for people who kept their jobs but were working from home? Hindsight certainly 2020, but still there are some people who are working at home even now. If they hadn't made any major changes over the past 12 months, what would you suggest that they do now that will help them save a pretty penny?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That is one of the silver linings in COVID. That's certainly what we're seeing in the wealthy youth community. People are spending less, right? So what are you going to buy? You're buying clothes. Where are you going? So, you know, particularly Black women, less hair care, less nails, because of this close customer
contact. More hair bonnets,
but go ahead. People aren't spending as
much. I said more hair bonnets, but go ahead, please.
I knew you were going to throw one in there.
Well, you know, eventually I would, but go ahead.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Harold. Here's the other thing about COVID. COVID has really made folks realize the priority and what's really important in their lives. What they're finding is all those things that they thought they needed for convenience, they really don't need. And so as a result, people are saving more. In fact, one of the, I think it was NerdWallet or one of the consumer magazines just came out, said that Americans paid off over $82 billion worth of debt. So here's the other point I want to make, is that interest rates are really, really low. And they're starting to tick up a little bit. But what I want folks listening to this program, if you've got any long-term debt or if you refinanced your home 2 years ago, I mean, you're seeing these interest rates on 15 years, they're below 3%. And on 30 years, they're right at 3%. So now is a great time to think about how you can refinance. For those of you who were renters and thought you couldn't afford a home, first-time home buyers, the state of Maryland and Virginia, they all have programs around, and the district, around first-time home buyers. Now is a great opportunity for you to qualify for more because these interest rates are lower. So I really want people to, you can look at things from different sides of the coin. And I really want folks to look at it from the standpoint of whenever there's a crisis, there is opportunity, and you have to be open to what those opportunities are at any given time.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to financial expert Deborah Owens about the pandemic and your finances 1 year later, what you need to know if you need some financial advice, particularly right along through here. Now is the time to give Deborah a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I do want to talk about some of the people who may be trying to figure out how to deal with some of those debts, credit cards and the like. during the course of the pandemic, we know that the credit card companies, a lot of them, had been a little more understanding because of the crisis that we were in. Is that changing now?
Well, you know, here's the thing. One of the things I would say is that credit card companies and creditors are more willing to negotiate than they ever have been. And certainly we are coming out of this pandemic, but people need to pick up the phone. There were some moratoriums for tenants,
mm-hmm.
on not being able to be taken out of your home. But now is the time to really negotiate. And also, there are still benefits. The CARES Act is still going on. There are a number of things. If you were an independent contractor where you got a 1099, you need to be applying for some of the PPP subsidies. A lot of people don't realize, but Biden just changed the rules around sole proprietors. It used to be that you could only be sole proprietors, or if you were 1099, you know, you're in the gig economy. It used to be that you could only qualify based on your net profits. Now it's on growth. So that's the other thing I want people to take a look at, are what are the different opportunities in that stimulus bill that you can qualify for? And by the way, you can go right to the CARES Act website. You can get there just by going to SBA.gov, and they have all the information on the stimulus program. And so what I want people to understand is not just for small businesses. It's for individuals who get paid 1099 or independent contractors as well.
Deborah, hold your point. I'm going to let you finish. Also, we want to let our listeners know, Cindy from Calvert County, Sharon calling from Fort Washington, you are next. Don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. You can download the app on your smartphone through your Google Store or Apple Store. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about your personal finances 1 year after the start of the pandemic. How have things changed for you? Have they gotten better? Have they gotten worse? What do you need to do to improve your financial position going forward as things begin to open up slowly? My guest is Deborah Owens, America's Wealth Coach and author of several books, including A Purse of Your Own and Nickel and Dime Your Way to Wealth. Lines are open if you have a question or need some financial advice. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Go ahead and finish your point about, you were talking about SBA and the gig economy and the like, Deborah.
Yeah, no. I just want people to go to make sure that they're checking out the updated stimulus bill and that they take advantage that those benefits are not just for companies, they're for independent contractors. So that's the point I wanted to make.
Okay. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Cindy calling from Calvert County. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Cindy, are you there? Yes, go right ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I'm just thinking about my home. I want to not invest, but do some upkeep in the home. You know, my needs to be some painting done and things like that. Is that okay? You think that's a good investment to put money into the home? Sometimes my husband and I have this disagreement, but I just think it's important to maintain the house as well. What about that as far as financial security and making sure, you know, you keep your house in good condition.
Well, but before we send you to divorce court, what's your position and what is his position?
What my position is, keep the house maintained. My husband, you know, he's one of those, you know, I'll get around to him. He's not going to paint the outside of the house. I know he's not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Deborah, I'm going to let you lead them down the aisle.
You're just sending me right over the
place. That's right. No. You know, well, America's wealth coach and marriage counselor.
So here's what you need to know, that the upkeep of your home is always a good investment, right? Because it's sort of like anything that you procrastinate on and you wait for, it's only going to get worse. And the other thing is that it maintains your home value. So that is not an expense. That is an investment when you are enhancing your property. So I'm a big advocate of that.
Okay. Well, there you go. Cindy, you can say Deborah said so.
All right.
You're quite welcome. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sharon calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling, Sharon. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you. My question is, I have a first and a second trust. I'm halfway through, so I have another 15 years. Before they both will be paid off. Now, the first trust has a great interest rate. It's right at 2.75. The second, right now I'm enjoying the fact that the interest rates are low, and so because there's some flexibility there. I mean, it can't go but so high, but at the same time, right now because the rates are low, I'm paying a lesser payment. So I have actually like two questions. Is it a good idea to refinance when I'm halfway through this game of paying it off? And the second question is, I forgot my second question. Oh, my goodness. So let's just deal with the first one, because that was my original question.
I understand what you're saying. So you mean you have a first mortgage and a second mortgage? You said a first trust and a second trust. I'm assuming you mean mortgage, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was about to ask, but you had me Googling here. I'm like, what is a trust?
Yes.
Okay, but no, go right ahead.
So here's your dilemma, right? But whenever someone asks me this question, I always say crunch the numbers. And actually, if you were to call a bank, I prefer credit unions, by the way, and ask them, would it be advantageous for you to refinance? They will crunch those numbers for you. So what are they going to consider? They're going to consider, you know, it's sort of like you're at a 15-year, you've already got a 15-year mortgage, right? And so...
Right. So it would be 30 years, but halfway there, right?
So it's 15 years and you've only got 7 years left on it?
No, it was 30 years. I've been in it for 15 years. I have 15 to go.
Yeah, so you haven't refinanced that home at all?
Yes, I did. I did refinance, I think it was back in 2007.
Okay, so it's been a minute. So here's what... Here's the numbers. I mean, typically, well, the dilemma you have is here's at the end of the day, here are the numbers, right? So you have your home is valued at so much, and your first and second mortgage is what percentage of that?
There's probably not a whole lot of equity, and the reason why I say that is because we kind of got caught up in that bubble with the market.
Okay, so say absolutely no more. So it is probably going to behoove you, and this is top of mind. I don't know your particular situation, but if you've got a first and second mortgage, with these interest rates being as low as they are, it probably will make you more sense if you've got at least 20% equity to put both of those two of those together and have just one mortgage at a lower interest rate. But I preface that with saying that that's a general recommendation. I mean, that's, I don't even want to call it a recommend. That's a general observation. Pick up the phone, call a mortgage a professional, and have them crunch the numbers for you. And the numbers will tell you what makes more sense. If you can reduce the amount of interest you're paying on that loan, and, you know, with and the trade-off between taking both of those loans, lumping them into one, if that one payment is lower than the two you're going to make, then it's probably going to make sense.
Yeah, and I would also add, Deborah and Sharon, if you refinanced in 2007, this is now 2021.
Exactly.
And right. the interest rates, even though they are starting to creep up just a little bit, and, you know, as Deborah said, you know, I don't know what your situation is, but I'm sure that you didn't refinance at 3% in 2007. And also one of the other things is, and I'm sure Deborah will agree with this, it also depends on what your plan is with with the house, because you are in, you know, Fort Washington. Selling may not be hard considering where things are right now, but then where are you going to go? Because because it you know, it's so expensive to buy right now, and so I certainly agree. You may need to check out your mortgage professional, credit union or something, because right now, if your credit is good, man, we're talking 2.8, 2.9, 3%, 3.2. I mean, that's low.
Yeah, and the key is that the rates are edging up. So anybody who's within my voice, listen, if you were considering, if you were sitting on the fence, you need to really make a decision, because, every time I say we'll never see these rates as low as they are, they did go lower. But I would anticipate, and this is what many of the economists are saying, that once all of this pent-up demand and once the economy gets back on, back running at full steam, that eventually they're going to have to raise interest rates. They've just been low, and they cannot continue to be this low forever.
Yeah. Well, Sharon, thank you so much for your phone call, and good luck to you. I did, before I go to the next phone call, Deborah, I wanted to also comment about the previous caller, where she was suggesting that she wants to invest in the house and the husband is less likely to do so. You know, even at running the risk of losing your husband, I joke. But, always investing in your home is so important.
I've
done it during the pandemic. And as a matter of fact, I have a window in my dining room in my 83-year-old house. That window is 83 years old. And just got a call today from the window guy. Your window is ready. And I'm going to have a 2021 window that's not only won't be painted shut, but, I won't feel, any of the outside air coming through. Yeah, all of those kinds of things. And I think that the bottom line, no matter where we are with the economy, if you let things fall by the wayside with your house and then something really big happens, it'll all happen at once. The plumbing, the windows, a hole in the floor, a hole in the wall, need a new refrigerator, all of that stuff. And it's better to do it while you can, as opposed to waiting until you must do it when you may have another emergency.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lynn, calling from Upper Marlboro. Hey, Lynn, what's on your mind? I think we may have lost Lynn. Lynn, are you there?
Nothing.
Yeah, give us a call back, Lynn, if you can. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that we have also seen, and this goes to the thing about investments, whether you have a 401k or 403b or an IRA, or over the past several years, we've seen the stock market skyrocket. Over the past several months, it's been choppy. And of course, there's been a lot of publicity, much of it negative, about stock investments. What do you say to people who are, you know, perhaps in their 30s, they have some investments, but the situation they're dealing with right now is making them a little nervous?
Well, you know, the key always is, what is your goal for the money? And that's exactly the question you asked of the lady in with the mortgage. And that's always the question. You know, the truth is that we have seen an unprecedented rise in stocks. And who would have thought that this would happen in the middle of the pandemic? But part of the reason that we've seen the increase in the stock market is because interest rates are so low. If you were to go and try to put some money in your savings account, you'll be lucky if you earn 1%. And because interest rates are so low, there's nowhere for money to go other than the stock market and to take that kind of risk, right? And so for those of you, if you are an investor, even when the market goes down, volatility works in your favor. The Ariel survey just came out on Black. The Ariel Schwab Black Investor Survey was just released, and one of the findings, and I was so happy about it, was that for the first time, more younger African Americans are investing in the stock market. The truth is that one of the reasons the wealth gap is so huge, is because 62% of African American households own no investment assets outside of their retirement plan. As a result, we have one-tenth the assets of our white counterparts. It is necessary that we understand how the financial markets work, understand that stocks go up and down, but over the long term, particularly if you're investing in your retirement plan, when the market goes down, every 2 weeks you're still consistently buying at these lower rates, or you're going to be picking up shares at lower rates. And then as the market goes up, you're going to benefit that way. And so the key, and I cannot say this enough, Harold, is to invest consistently over the long term, and you're going to be much further ahead in the long run.
Mm-hmm. I will say, and this happened during the pandemic. It had nothing to do with the pandemic, but what I decided to do to give my 22-year-old daughter for Christmas was $100 and information to open up her own IRA.
I love that. And you bring up a very good point. I talked a little bit earlier about our Wealthy You community. And by the way, your listeners, if they want to learn more about it, they can go to our free Facebook group. We actually have a challenge going on right now. We call it our 5-Day Savvy Money Makeover Challenge, where people are finding the money to invest, because everybody says they don't have any money. They got plenty of money. It's just, where is that money going? And we want them to pay themselves first. But the key to everything, really, Harold, is that financial literacy, investment literacy, is inherited. It is not taught. I mean, think about it. Your daughter, if I'm not mistaken, just graduated from Howard,
yeah,
right?
Last spring. Yes, class
right.
of 2020.
So here she is. She has a college degree. And unfortunately, in people with BAs, MBAs, PhDs, the most important thing that you needed to learn in your formal education isn't taught. And that's investment advice. If you didn't have a parent or a personal investment advisor in your family, then more than likely you don't know about the financial markets. And that's why it's so critical that you give your daughter the opportunity to learn about it, to open up an IRA, and you pass that behavior and that knowledge on to her, because it's the only way we're going to close the wealth gap for Black Americans.
And you know, at 22, I mean, how, and this is, and I think this is perhaps the personal finance pandemic conversation, if not for you, but for,
yes,
for your children.
Absolutely.
Be, you know, particularly those children who, like my daughter, they were the, you know, the pandemic class of 2020. And you know, whether they were graduating from high school, college, grad school, or what have you, and trying to make some decisions. And the thing that I said, and this goes back to the whole dealing with debt and savings, and it isn't just for the 22-year-olds. Yes, it's for the 55-year-olds and the folks in between, that, you know, the way I explained it to her was $25 every 2 weeks, because she had a little job, you spend more on fast food, even in the midst of a pandemic, that you spend more than $50 a month. So take that $25 every 2 weeks and put it in, and explaining to her, if things continue the way that they do, or have been continuing, with you know, the stock market and everything else, in 20 years you'll be 42. Who knows, you could have $500,000 and you still can't touch it.
Yeah, and you know, I think the most important thing, and you know, I really applaud you for that, and anyone who's listening, is that the one gift, the most valuable gift you can give to your children, really is the ability to know how to, you know, financial acumen, to know how to build wealth. And if you don't know, then, you know, that it should be incentive for you to want to learn more about investments. I'm always struck in our community of the people who, for whatever reason, were like, went into what are called target date funds. And basically they answered questions, and then they were put into an investment based on when they wanted to retire. Mm-hmm. And so they really felt like, oh, I'm okay now. And yet they still don't understand what is in those investments. And one of the things I found in helping people analyze what they have is sometimes what's in there are not the best performing funds.
Yeah.
And that's why it's critical that you learn, because financial ignorance is expensive, so that then you can pass it on like you've done with your daughter, Harold.
Yeah, and the final thing that I, on this particular thing, and I'll move on because there's some other issues I want to get to, is that I explained to her, at some point when you begin to accumulate wealth, then you can let dad hold a little something. Baby,
how did I know that was coming?
Let me hold a little something, baby.
Here's the key, Harold. Warren Buffett says it best. If you don't learn how to make money while you're asleep, you'll work until you die.
Mm.
And so that's the point of having your money work for you. That's the point of investments. It's not to be richy rich or to drive a Bentley or, you know what I'm saying? Like, the ability to create wealth and to turn your income into assets so that they can create the income and you no longer have to work to do it. That's the point. And the earlier you start, the sooner you're going to have that freedom of not having to work for an income.
One of the things that we've seen happening during the latter part of this first year of the pandemic is a surge in car sales. What is that about? Do you have any idea what that's about? Whether it's new cars, used cars, or the like, people have been buying cars like potato chips.
Are you trying to make me angry?
I'm not.
Is that what this is about?
I don't know. Did you buy? Did you buy a new car?
I thought we were going to get through an interview.
See,
and you were not going to bring up something that is my pet peeve.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that because I realize my car is going to be paid off in 7 months. Although the way I'm thinking right now, I may try to do it in 3. Car looks good. I look good in it, and it's running fine. Not thinking about getting a new car, but what is going on with that right now?
Again, pent-up demand, right? And there, I'm sure, well, it's interesting. In talking with a friend of ours who has a car dealership, one of the things he says is he doesn't have a lot of inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And so with there's probably a lot of demand. But it's interesting you say that. One of the exercises that we complete in this Savvy Money Makeover Challenge is to go through your expenses and look at what your largest expenses are. And for most people, the first is your home, right? Mortgage or rent. The second is car note or car lease. The average car note is $600. Okay, so let's say you have 2 households and you both got $600 car notes. That's $1,200 a month. $1,200 a month is $14,400. In 10 years, that is $144,000. Now, I didn't even add, if I were to add 8% to that number, do you know how much that would be? That number at 8% would double in like 9 years. So that is like really $280,000. That the people who want to achieve, if you would just do this one thing, if you would just one person have a car note and bank that other money and put it in an investment and max out your retirement plan, you will easily make it into the 7-figure club.
What are the biggest mistakes outside of perhaps buying a new car that people are making that you want to say, stop, take a breath, let's not do that, let's do this?
Well, you know, the biggest mistake is taking on too much student loan debt, too much personal loan, too much financing, college education is the biggest, right? And so what we must do is we must save on the front end. Don't anybody listening to this program say, I can't believe it. She's saying, don't quote. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the first, when we have a child, the first thing we need to do is invest in an account so that they can go to the college of their choice without taking on a lot of debt. Secondly, the biggest issue, particularly for Black Americans, is leakage out of their retirement accounts, their 401k plan, leaving one employer and instead of rolling that money over, using it to pay off credit card debt or bills. And so what happens is that over time, you've lost the ability to have those savings grow, and you end up with a much, much less of a nest egg. Those are the two. And the other thing is getting into egregious kinds of loans. You brought up car loans. Car loans and financing through car loans, I know people who have financed cars recently at as high as 12%, right? Interest rates are at 3%. You can go to a credit union and finance a car at 3%, some of them 1%, 2%. So not understanding how to negotiate financing is costing our community hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah. As you said, not having the financial information can be extremely expensive. What should people do to, before they make any decision, right now regarding their finances? If they don't know which way to move, they don't know which way to go.
You know, the biggest thing, Harold, is have a relationship with the financial institution. The time to know your banker, to know about financing, it is before you need it. So anyone listening to us should at least have a relationship with a credit union. I say have your emergency savings account at a credit union and have that account at somewhere that you don't have easy access. It's not on every corner. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, one of the things that we've learned getting back to that savings account is anything can happen. We certainly have learned that from the pandemic. And, you know, I was listening to your daughter graduating in COVID, during COVID-19, not being able to walk and, you know, have her family and all the other families there cheering for her, you know, all of the events around graduation. What I think, though, is that this generation, they're going to look at COVID the same way our grandparents and parents looked at the Great Depression.
Mm.
You know, I used to wonder why my parents, you know, thought about, you know, oh, you always better save. Anything can happen. Now we see, I know that in my lifetime, I will look at this time as one of the most significant, right, what do I want to call them, events of my lifetime. And so with that, I think if we've learned anything at all, we've learned that we don't need as much as we think we need, and that we also need to be able to, we need to have something not only for a rainy day, but, you know, for tornadoes and storms as well.
Yeah, those tsunamis, those financial tsunamis.
That's exactly right.
Deborah Owens, good to hear from you. Glad that you've made it through, not only financially, but also your physical health. Glad that you are doing okay. And for those who are interested in finding out more about Deborah Owens, you can find her online at deborahowens.com. That's deborahowens.com. deborahowens.com. Deborah, take care.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, Harold.
That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, March 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall.